Hello, Grandview Church. It's Jody here. Good to be with you this day. I wonder where your feet are touching the earth today. Mine touched the earth here in the unceded territory of the Squamish, the Musqueam, and the Tsleil-Waututh. And this service was prepared for the 12th of July, 2020. As we get ready to prepare for worship together, I want to invite you to think about the space that you're in. You might need to do something to ready that space or to ready yourself to enter into this space. You might need to light a candle or get a cup of coffee or some paper for drawing. I know that Mary Carol probably has her knitting close at hand. You might want to call to the people around you to come and listen together. Or you might need to get outside or close the door and be still. Whatever it is that helps you enter into the worship of our God. If you need to pause this recording to do that, I'd welcome you to do that now. So now that we're ready, here in this space together, I invite you to take a deep breath. I'm going to light my candle. Be reminded of the presence of Christ with me here in this place. Pray that the presence of Christ would be with you in the place you are. Pray for my neighbors who I can see through my window, that the light of Christ might be present for them, might illumine the path for them this day. We're together again, some of us across the street from one another, others across the water out camping, or across borders currently closed to non-essential travel. Hi, Mom and Dad. But thanks be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gathers us as one community, one church, one body of Christ in every time and place. Amen. In this season where we are learning to follow the lead of creation, where this gift of listening lets our eyes be free to look around us and to follow the prompting of God's good creation, to tune our hearts to praise, I want to call us into worship with the words of Psalm 65. Hear these words as our prayer this day. Reading from the Message. Silence is praise to you, Zion dwelling God, and also obedience. You hear the prayer in it all. And we all arrive at your doorstep sooner or later, loaded with guilt, our sins too much for us. But you get rid of them, once and for all. Blessed are we who have been welcomed to enter your house, who have been brought near and are welcome guests at your table, in your house. All of your salvation wonders are on display in your trophy room. Earth tamer, ocean pourer, mountain maker, hill dresser, muzzler of sea storm and wave crash, of mobs and noisy riot, far and wide, they'll come to a stop. They'll stare in awe, in wonder. Dawn and dusk take turns calling, come, come and worship.
creator of Orion and the Pleiades. One who turns the shadow of death into day. Voice be held in the morning, psalm of creation.
Job singing, Jeanette and Steve. Thanks, Grant, for launching us in your beautiful affirmation there into the rest of our service, where we are joining Jesus on the journey, as we have been in our series throughout Matthew, asking what it means to love God, to receive God's love and affirmation and delight in us, and to offer that and extend it to our neighbor as we love our neighbor. And we focused a fair bit on loving our neighbor. And today we're really focusing in on this idea of loving God and receiving the love of God and the ways in which children in particular lead us well into that. So our text is from Matthew chapter 19. Feel free to grab a Bible if you want to. Particularly verses 13 through 15, where the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them and sent him back. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And that text just reminds us and reorients us to attend to the ways in which God's presence in children speaks something of God's vision of the kingdom to the rest of us as well. And so you have a treat before you today. We have some interviews with some kids who are talking about what the love of God means to them. And then Melanie has taken this story and put it in a larger story, and we'll tell that as our sermon reflection today. So as we enter in and continue on in our worship, grateful for those words from Tom's song, Creator of Orion, that God is the creator of the universe and is powerful and beautiful in majesty on that kind of cosmic scope, and also attends to the very particularities of us in our need, but also in our questions, in our wonderings, in our observations, that God is not far off, but has come near and has set us an example to attend to the children and to look for the ways in which the kingdom is being revealed through their eyes and their mouths. So listen together now. We'll hear from Jemima, from Meshach, Cecilia, Ruby, and Maria. And then Melanie will lead us in the story around the Matthew 19, 13 to 22 text. Here they are.
Okay, Mama, what does God's love and blessing feel like to you?
It feels like white because that's the color of warmness in your heart, and it lets out light and love.
What does God's love and blessing look like?
Someone who is a baby.
And are there any people who help you feel God's love?
Yes. Like Jesus, you, my dad, and also God.
What does God's love and blessing feel like?
God's love and blessing feels like what marshmallows taste like. Happiness. Waves of happiness. And there's two choices. Let the wave of happiness come inside and play, or let the happiness wave crash you over.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's just something I learned.
Okay.
The wave thing was what I thought about in school when we were doing feelings.
Oh, I see.
What does God's love and blessing feel like?
I don't know.
You don't know? For example, I mean, when you imagine God's love, can you think of a color, a picture, or a feeling?
Color.
What kind of color do you think of?
Pink.
Pink. Mm-hmm. And Ruby, what about you? When you imagine God's love, can you think of a color or a picture or a feeling?
I like... Mom, can you tell me what I can choose?
No, you need to choose.
Mm-hmm. Pink color.
Pink color, okay. Good choice. And then another question for you guys. Maria, I'm going to ask you again first. Shemaya?
Yeah.
Are there people who help you come close to God's love? Who are people that help you?
Mama.
Mama.
Uh-huh. And Papa.
Yeah.
And Ruby.
Uh-huh. And what about you, Ruby? Are there people who help you come close to God's love and blessing?
Blessing loves me of purple.
Okay.
Miriam is heavy. Oh yes, she's very cute and cuddly and makes the most adorable faces, especially when she's talking about teeny tiny beetles. She loves teeny tiny beetles. But when you have to carry her for most of a day along a dusty road in the hot sun, you don't notice the cuteness so much. I'm Abaya. I'm 12. And then there's Naraya, he's 9, and Yako, who's 5.5, and Miriam, the youngest. Mama and Papa got us up that morning when it was still dim and everything outside was pink gray and quiet. They had already packed food for a few days' travel, and Papa quickly added our bedrolls and blankets to the bundles tied tight, and we started walking out from our village. Mama was carrying the supplies, and Papa was carrying Miriam, but it didn't take too long before we realized that if Yako was walking on his own, there was no way we were going to get where we needed to be by nightfall. Most of the time, it is almost impossible to get Yako to stay still, but go on a long walk, and it's like a leaping hare suddenly turning into a sleepy ox. He gets so slow. So Papa carried Yako for most of the way, and I ended up carrying Miriam. That's what happens when you're the oldest, but I like helping most of the time. Some hours after we'd stopped for lunch and were making our way further into the Judean hill country, Mama reached over to touch my sleeve. "Not too far now, Abaya, look." She pointed to the horizon. Off to the east, the hillside was dotted with a mass of little spots and blotches all clumped together. I squinted towards it. "Sheep?" "No, people," she laughed at the surprise on my face. "That's a big crowd, Mama." Naraya was peering towards the hills. "Are all those people out there to hear the teacher?" "I believe so, my little lamp. Shall we join them?" He nodded and we set off again. From my back, Miriam gave a tug at my hair and pointed a chubby finger at the distant specks covering the hills. "Beetles! Teeny tiny beetles!" The next morning we woke up as the sleepy crowd around us began to stir. Our camp spot in the middle of hundreds of milling people getting their breakfasts ready. Miriam had been up half the night, crying and fussing. But now that it was daylight, she was blinking quietly out at the scene around us, her little fist clasped around a dried date. As my siblings and I finished our flatbread, I noticed movement at the crest of the hill. Then a man stepped forward, up into a bowl-shaped crop of rocks, and began to speak to the quickly hushed gathering. Even Yako sat still to stare up at the teacher, his voice amplified over the hillside. He wasn't a tall man, shorter than Papa anyway, and not very noticeable. But when he spoke, it was wonderful. His words were like kindness and sunlight. Also powerful, like what he said was the truest, strongest thing I'd ever heard. The teacher spoke most all of the morning, telling us about the kingdom of God. Stories about ordinary things that somehow made you see how your whole life could be holy and God-shaped. And I listened and listened, my ears all stretched wide and my breath almost held so I didn't miss a word. Until... "Abaya, shh. Abaya, shh. Teeny." "What?" "Teeny tiny, look." "Miriam, not now." "Abai, look, teeny tiny beetle." "Mama, make her stop. I don't care about the stupid bug. I'm trying to listen." "Abaya, be patient with her. Come here, little Mimi. How about you and Yako and I go for a walk?" Mama scooped up Miriam and took Yako by the hand and led them away through the crowds packed in on blankets and bedrolls. Papa scruffed his hand in my hair and smiled. It's good, isn't it, what the teacher says. Yes, he's wonderful. It makes my brain click listening to him. You know that part when he was talking about someone going to look for the one little lost sheep? And about people who aren't important, about how God is searching for them and can't wait to find them. But, Papa, the teacher is important. Shouldn't important people be more important than not important people? He laughed. Papa, you know what I mean. Small things can be important too, don't you think? Like seeds. He beckoned my brother into the conversation. How about you, Nariah? What's the most important thing you've heard this morning? While Papa and my brother talked, I went back to listening, trying to soak in as much as I could as the teacher spoke. Just as the midday sun got high above and the teacher sat down to rest and let everyone focus on the noon meal, Mama returned with Miriam and Yako and another family. Reuben, this is Amir and Ertzi and their children. We met by the stream where the kids were playing. We're thinking of bringing our lunches and seeing if we could get closer to the teacher, maybe even meet him. Ask him to pray a blessing on the children. Well fought. I'll just make sure there's bread and cheese here for all of us. Papa gathered the food together in a cloth, and we followed the other family through the throng, up towards where the teacher was sitting on the rocks, his disciples standing close round him, speaking eagerly to one another, their backs to the crowd. Papa cleared his throat. The disciples didn't notice. Papa, I whispered, tugging his sleeve, maybe this isn't a good idea. They're busy. We shouldn't interrupt. We could come back later. Papa hesitated just for a moment, but Miriam didn't. She wiggled her 2-year-old body out of Mama's arms onto the ground and waddled past the knees of the disciples to where the teacher sat. Miriam, no! I whisper shouted, mortified. But it was too late. She was right there, chubby arm pointing at the ground, looking intently at a shiny black insect, making its way slowly past the teacher's sandaled feet. Abai, look! Teeny tiny! I groaned inwardly. But the teacher got off the rock and knelt down in the dusty ground and got right to eye level with Miriam and the teeny tiny beetle crawling by them. It's wondrous, isn't it? He put a finger on the ground and the insect crawled over it. Miriam clasped her hands together and laughed. The disciples were shuffling impatiently and frowning in our direction. Whose child is that? This isn't the time or the place. Mama and Papa stepped forward hurriedly, but the teacher looked up at his disciples, indignant. Let the children come close. Don't keep them away from me. God's kingdom is made of people like this. And he put his hands on Miriam's head as she stared at him with her large brown eyes. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine on you, little one. Mama and Papa and the other parents guided the rest of us kids towards the teacher. Papa lifted Miriam into his arms and the teacher stood, and one by one he placed his hands on each child's head and prayed words of blessing over us. When he came to me, he pointed at Miriam. This your sister? Yes, sir. She really loves bugs and beetles and, well, anything tiny. Me too. What about you? What do you love? I love listening to you teach. I love thinking about your stories, about the kingdom of God. I don't understand them all, but I want to. I want to get inside them or get them inside of me, I think. Does that make sense? That makes so much sense. He put a hand on my shoulder. Come and sit here, you and your family. Let's see if we can get these Kingdom of God stories inside of us. and we sat at the teacher's feet and ate our bread and cheese, and Miriam followed Bugs with her fingers until she fell asleep on Papa's lap. And I listened as the teacher spoke of God's kingdom stories coming into the world around us. And small seeds of that story got inside my heart and took root and began to grow and grow.
Announcements. Take a million. These are your community announcements. I'm Sarah Ann.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Hannah. We go to the evening congregation.
The Berry family would like to say that they miss seeing you all at Grandview. Etienne is getting braces on Friday and has been enjoying camping and fishing recently. Sebastian is into mountain biking and jumps, and has also recently discovered a love of chopping wood. So if you have any wood that needs to be chopped, he will be glad to help with adult supervision.
Asher O'Zerny wanted to share that he found 11 four-leaf clovers and 1 5-leaf clover this week. So if you're in need of luck, go visit Asher O.
Pastor Jake will be on vacation for the next 2 weeks until July 28th. He'll be canoeing the Powell Lake Chain, and he hopes the summer will arrive before he gets back.
We wanted to remind you that the Prayer Corner team is active. Email prayercorner@gcbchurch.ca. That's prayercorner@gcbchurch.ca. If you would like prayer, or have someone contact you to pray with you over the phone.
If you have health concerns and think it would be helpful to talk through these with our parish nurse, Lori, email her at parishnurse@gcbchurch.ca. Again, that's parishnurse@gcbchurch.ca.
We miss being with you all and hope that we can worship together sometime again in the near future. We hope that you are keeping well in these really uncertain times.
Have a blessed Sunday and a good week.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye, Hannah. You want to say bye?
Bye.
It's a small miracle that she didn't hit Steve with the spoon.
Thanks, Steve and Sarah Ann and Hannah. It's good to have your voices present with us here today. May I send you with a blessing? Now may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. That peace of God that is rooted in God's love and delight for you, may it root you, orient you, and free you to share that peace and love with those about you. For it is said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called children of God. May the Lord be with you all. May you go to love and serve the Lord. And we'll be together again in a week. Go with God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers, dear God, coming God.
All the peacemakers, blessed are. children of God. Oh, se qui cree la paix. Pacificadores, los pacificadores.